Welcome to Module 3, Anatomy of the Race. There's certainly a lot of information in this module. In fact, this is the most jam-packed module that you have. And so do make sure that if this is new to you, you take enough time, you really go through and you learn the concepts. In the readings, there are some worksheets that are available to you. I would certainly encourage you to complete those and work through those and make sure that you understand these concepts. There is also a lot of reading. You've got model rules that cover most of what we are talking about here. But I'm going to give you just the Reader's Digest version to fill in for your note sheet, and then you can go back and continue to fill in from your readings. Number one, handle competitive races and full fields. This is probably the most important issue facing the racing industry today. To maximize handle, and remember, handle pays the bills. Handle is what has to happen for the racetracks to pay their bills, to offer purses to the horsemen to pay them, and to make sure that people keep coming to the races. To maximize handle, races really need to have full fields. And that means the maximum number of horses that can race at that racetrack. A full field may be 8 horses for a little track like we have here in Tucson because our track is not very wide. 8 is really the maximum number that are safe. Other tracks can routinely race 12 to 14 horses. A full field would certainly be considered 8 or above, with light fields, which are unfortunately quite common today, being 5, 6, 7 horses. Along with having a full field, those horses should be evenly matched. It doesn't make any difference if they are horses of very little ability or the top-notch horses racing today. They need to be of equal ability. So the race is competitive. You don't have 2 horses in it that are sure things and the rest of the horses being total long shots. That's not a good betting race because when such favorites come in, they don't pay that much money. We're going to go through why that happens specifically and go through the dollars in a later module. At this point, you just need to truly just believe that the full field with evenly matched horses does produce a higher handle on that race. Handle does fall with small fields or prohibitive favorites. Now, the horsemen love to be in a small race and be the favorite. They're running for the purse. You can certainly understand that. But the big picture and the long-term health of racing does depend on full fields. Handle must be kept at a maximum to make sure that all facets of the industry are healthy. What is a condition book? Basically, it's referred to as the horseman's Bible. It's produced by the racing secretary and the racetrack and contains the rules and regulations regarding racing and lists the upcoming races generally for 2 weeks at a time. This allows the horsemen to know what races will be offered and how to train their horses up to those specific races. For your use, there have been a few pages, of an actual condition book provided to you. Basically, anything you need to know if you are a horseman, for example, what days do you enter? What scratch time? What races are being offered? What shoes are legal if there's a turf course? All of that information is in the condition book. It's really an important piece of information, and you do have that to look at. We'll talk more in the future about some of the items that are found in condition books. Grouping competitors. Remember, I said that having Full fields will maximize the handle, and horses need to be evenly matched. Well, there has to be a system of matching horses. And I've gone through and listed for you the basic groupings of competitors in number 3. Maiden, claiming, allowance, stake, and I have handicap in parentheses. Maiden. And that 10% means that's about the percentage of races that are presented to the public in this category. Maiden means the horse has never won a race. As simple as that. It doesn't mean that those horses aren't good. It does mean that they just have not had the opportunity. Secretariat started out as a maiden, as did Funnyside. The great racehorses and the good racehorses, those who are very competitive throughout their life, usually break their maiden, in other words, win their first race, very early in their careers. So if you see a 2 or 3 year old lightly raced maiden, you still may be looking at tomorrow's superstar. If you see a 4 or 5 year old who's had many, many starts and still is a maiden, you're seeing a horse that probably is not going to be very competitive as a racehorse, and in fact may be finding another career before long. The next category is claiming. That's approximately 70% of all the races offered in this country. In these races, all of the horses are for sale for a set price. And that price is set prior to the running of the race. In fact, the owners and trainers know that price when they enter the races. Claiming races can start at a value of $1,000 at the very small meets and go up to $100,000 at your more prestigious racetracks. They say you get what you pay for, and that's the way these horses are sorted out. A horse that is a $20,000 claimer should be a horse of lesser quality than a $75,000 claimer. Basically, we are attaching a monetary value to the quality of the horse. I'll talk about this being self-regulating a little bit later in this module. Do remember that claiming prices are different at different racetracks, where a top claiming price at one track may be $5,000 and a top claiming price at another may be $75,000. Allowance. Approximately 16% of the races offered in this country. These are higher caliber horses that are more valuable than the highest claiming price at that racetrack. These horses could indeed be for sale privately, but they cannot be claimed or purchased out of the race. Stakes, about 4% of the races offered. These are the best horses competing in the country, or at that racetrack. The difference in the stake race, in addition to the quality, is that you must pay to play. There is an entry fee associated with stake races. The 3 previous segments that I talked about, maiden, claiming, and allowance, have no entry fees to enter into the race. A stake race does. Basically, you put your money where your mouth is because you know you've got a horse of very high caliber, and you do enter and pay to get into that race. The last is a handicap. That is a different way of actually trying to level the field and getting horses of equal ability in the same race. In this type of race, which is generally a stake race because there is a lot of paperwork and manual labor involved in putting this race together, it doesn't have to be a stake race, but it generally is. The weight that the horses carry is subjective. A handicapper, a racing secretary, the person or group of people appointed by that racing association to put weights on horses will look at the entries and determine which they believe are the best horses in the race and the weakest in the race. The best horses will carry the most weight. The weaker horses will carry the least amount of weight. The idea is to penalize the good horses by carrying more weight, and the goal would be to have all the horses cross the finish line at the same time. Weight can slow horses down, and this is one method used to equalize a field. But remember, this is subjective. This is the opinion of the handicappers and or racing secretary determining how much weight that horse will carry. How to decipher the conditions of a race. There is a worksheet, and generally these races, when I talk about conditions, they actually do have rules and about how much weight a horse will carry. But rather than being subjective, it's objective. You know exactly the amount of weight your horse will carry when you enter it. For example, if it's 3-year-olds and up, the 3-year-olds may carry less weight. You know that going in. You know exactly what weight you are eligible to carry. Again, even within the claiming and allowance ranks, weight is used to help level the playing field so horses of equal ability are competing together. Please go through the worksheet on deciphering conditions. It walks you through step by step. Number 3, racing terms and titles. We'll go through this fairly quickly. A horse or colt, that is a male. Young males are colts. At 5 years old, they turn into a horse. We know they were a horse prior to that, but instead of being called colts and stallions, in the racing circuit, they're referred to as a horse. That is a male that is at least 5 years old. A filly turns into a mare, again, at 5 years old, and these are the females. So a female young horse is a filly. At 5 years old, the female becomes a mare. A gelding is a castrated male of any age. There is no age differentiation once you're a gelding. A juvenile. A juvenile refers to a 2-year-old of any sex or either sex. Futurity. In the thoroughbred business, and this is certainly different if you have cutting horses or pleasure horses, show horses, but in the racing world, a futurity is a race restricted to 2-year-old horses, and it is not restricted by gender. Sophomore refers to the 3-year-olds, generally their second year of racing, and again, is not gender restricted. Derby, that is a race restricted to 3-year-olds, and it is not gender restrictive. Although most of the time there are colts and geldings that run in the Kentucky Derby, you will find that a few times mares do compete. An Oaks race. This is gender restricted. These are 3-year-old fillies. When you see a race termed Oaks, for example, the Kentucky Oaks, this means it is restricted to 3-year-old fillies exclusively. Distaff. That's a term used for races that are restricted to fillies and mares only. That's kind of like saying girls only and is not age restrictive. I'm going to back up now a little bit and go into a little more detail about claiming. If racing is new to you, this is one of the hardest concepts to understand, that yes, 70% of the races offered are claiming races, and in that race, you could, what's known as, lose the horse. You may own the horse when the race starts and not own the race at the end. It seems to be the best system for North America. It does work, and I'd like to go over a few of the details at this point. Why is there claiming? It is the self-regulating system of grouping equal caliber horses together. How does it work? Because they are available for purchase. If you have a horse and you drop him in a claiming race that's very inexpensive, the horse will be claimed. That's a pretty big barrier. If you think it's a valuable horse and he's making you money, and he's competitive as a $50,000 claimer, you certainly wouldn't say, hey, I'm going to run him against horses of lesser ability and just steal the purse, because if you run him for $25,000, somebody will claim him and he will no longer be your horse. Now, if you have a horse, a person who just thinks the world of their horse, and they think he's worth $100,000, and they continue to put him in $100,000 claiming races, and he finishes last every time, very few people can afford to do that. You do have to put that horse in where he has the opportunity to start paying his own bills, in effect, winning purses. What is the rule of thumb? Here's the rule of thumb. Where does your horse belong in the claiming ranks? Here's the answer. Low enough to be competitive, yet high enough in the claiming price ranks not to be claimed. That's where the horse finds its level. The general provision. The horse is for sale. When you entered the horse, you have indeed signed a contract that says the horse is available for sale. And all the paperwork must be in order. The title of the horse changes either when the horse leaves the paddock or leaves the gate. Whether it ends up a winner, a loser, or a draw, if the horse is claimed, it goes to the new owner. Claiming. Who can claim? A licensed owner, agent, or person with a claiming certificate. People cannot walk in off the street to claim horses. You do have to be involved, and there has to be some paperwork done in advance. The money must also be in an account prior to the running of that race. You will be the owner of that horse no matter what the outcome of the race is or the health of the horse at the end of the race. Although if the horse does earn a purse, the purse goes back to the person who entered the horse. A claim certificate. You just can't walk in off the street. You must have a trainer lined up and named and money in the account. Prohibitions. You'll find a number of these in your readings, but in the big picture, you can't try to cheat and cause your horse not to be claimed. You cannot claim it back yourself in the same race, although if it's claimed away from you, and it is entered in a subsequent race, you certainly have every right to also put a claim in on it. But you cannot claim a horse that you currently own. You cannot shop in the paddock and look at horses carefully. If you don't have a horse in that race, you have no business to be in the paddock. You cannot go and have these horses, in effect, vetted ahead of time. The horse must go to a new trainer. You cannot have some of your own clients repurchase that horse for another client. Procedure. You must have money in the account. You must fill out a claim form and deposit that claim form, and it's generally 10 to 12 minutes prior to the start of the race. There's a lockbox, generally in somewhere near the paddock, where that form is dropped off. There's also a time punch, so you can verify when the claim was made. And once you drop the claim in that locked box, you cannot withdraw it. If there's more than one claim for the same horse, and in the past there have been up to 20 or 30 claims for one horse, although that doesn't happen very often, it will be the luck of the draw or a shake to determine who is the successful claimant of that horse. Transfer. The horse really does need to go to a new owner and trainer. You can't keep it in the family, so to speak. All The rules are in your reading. Purses. Better purses for better horses. This is a game of winning. Which are the better horses? We have a worksheet. To encourage horses to run at their level, we encourage, especially in the claiming ranks, we encourage horses to move up because they will be more highly rewarded. In claiming, it encourages the correct level. A purse is the total amount of money for the race. It is not just the amount that goes to the winner. Generally, in thoroughbred racing, the winner gets 60% and the rest split 40% to second, third, fourth, and sometimes fifth. So you can see this is a game of winning. The higher quality horses are rewarded with higher purses. You have some worksheets to help you work through that. But who decides what the purse will be? The horsemen's organization, who represents the horsemen, do negotiate a purse contract with the racetrack. Sometimes purses are a percentage of the handle, and that's legislated. Sometimes it's just legislated as to a flat amount that will go to purses. Again, this varies state by state. There is an article provided for you on this. There will also be a decision how much money goes to overnight races. Remember, that's maiden, claiming, and allowance, versus the stakes program. When you see that 70% of the horses that race are racing in claiming races, and those are generally the smaller purses, you'll see that the top end, the very good horses, win a huge percentage of the available purse money out there. You do know how much you are going to be racing for because it is written in the condition book. It is a contract that the horseman and the racetrack make with each other. But the racetrack is really working on a guesstimate. They're trying to guess how much the handle will be because the contract is usually based on a percentage of handle. We'll talk about purses a little bit later, but sometimes the purse amounts need to be corrected. Hopefully, business is better than expected, and they will be corrected upward. Rules of the race. I would like you to go through, I'm going to go and put just a couple of ideas in each of these sections of number 5, but this is all covered in the model rules, and it is covered in this order. Entries and nominations. Trainers or owners must enter the horse each time it races. And you must provide the entry clerk with all of the information. You may see something referred to as a preferred system. If more horses enter a race, then there is the opportunity to run. For example, there's an 8-horse gate and 12 horses are entered into a specific race. Those that do not get in the race will have a date or a star associated with them. This is called the preferred system. This means that the next time they enter, they will have the opportunity to race first. There's nothing worse than having horse fit and ready to go and not being able to get him entered into a race to allow him to compete. This is to ensure that anyone who was excluded from a race does get preferential treatment the next time they enter. It allows horses to stay competitive, and it is the most fair way to do it for the trainers and the owners of those horses. Declarations and scratches. A declaration means you took the horse out of the race before entries closed. A scratch means the horse was withdrawn after entries closed, and there's generally a penalty to that, and you must provide a reason why that horse will not participate on that racing program. The weight the horse carries. Hopefully you've read through the conditions and how to figure out conditions, but that weight must be claimed at time of entry. If you don't declare it, that's too bad, even if you're eligible for a lighter weight. Workouts. Workouts are required so the public knows that the horse is fit and ready to race. If a horse has not raced in a certain amount of time, he must have timed workouts to prove and to demonstrate his level of fitness. Horse is ineligible. There are a number of reasons why a horse may not be able to participate. They must be identified and tattooed. Horses may not race in this country without being tattooed, which is basically a procedure that identifies that they are who they are supposed to be according to their papers. Horses are not allowed to race if any rules or regulations surrounding them have been broken. The running of the race. Equipment must be approved. Why? You can change a horse's performance by changing his equipment. For example, blinkers. If a horse runs well with blinkers and you take the blinkers off, it may change his performance, and we always have to be aware that we have to let the public know because the public is betting on these horses. Jockeys must be the appropriate weight. They will be allowed to ride in most jurisdictions up to 7 pounds over. At 7 pounds, they must be taken off the horse and a new rider put in. The weight of the rider does not include their safety equipment, their safety vest, or their helmet. Please do read the paddock to post section and the post to finish to get the entire picture of what goes on race day. Protests, objections, inquiries. We will go over this in great detail in racing officials, but basically an inquiry is the stewards looking into something that happened during the running of the race. They've seen something, they will post the inquiry sign, and they are looking at it. An objection is a request by an owner, a trainer, or a rider that the stewards look at the running of a race to verify that all the rules and regulations were upheld. A protest is something that must be done within a certain period of time, and this would be done by someone other than the horse owner, trainer in question, or the stewards. Generally, that would be something if there was a question about the eligibility of a horse in that particular race. Again, I'd like to just reiterate that there's a lot of information here. Please go through all the handouts in this section very carefully.